This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. These weeks that we are living in right now, I mean, the whole last year or so, of course, but the past couple of weeks especially, people are going to remember them for a long, long time.
This moment is absolutely historic.
I mean, it's just so surreal, all of this, to be stuck at home in a pandemic and have sedition at our doorstep.
And it's quite shocking.
You remember our economic historians, right? That was Eric Hilt at Wellesley, Kathleen Day at Johns Hopkins, and Carola Friedman at Northwestern. We called them up the first time back in March so they could help us put what we are living through into some context.
There has been a lesson learned from the Great Depression.
The reason that the Great Depression was the Great Depression was that the financial system essentially melted down. And for the most part, the Fed did very little to try to stop that.
Banks by the hundreds, by the thousands are forced to close.
This time, it's obviously not man-made. It's a virus.
I think it's going to be a very bad crisis in relative terms.
We talked to him a couple of times in the spring and summer.
I'm growing increasingly pessimistic.
I think it is as bad as I possibly imagined, possibly worse.
Not that much has changed since the last time we talked 2 months ago. It's still a big question mark and a lot of uncertainty.
Honestly, I feel like I've done nothing but the dishes over the past 8 weeks.
I have not learned how to make bread from scratch.
So where are we now, 10 months into this thing? Well, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right.
Let me just refresh my coffee.
While Professor Day does that, let us talk about the economy.
On the one hand, there is an enormous amount of uncertainty.
As you know, the pandemic started to resurge in the fall, and the economic recovery that we were experiencing in the third quarter seems to have slowed.
Remember, the December jobs report we got this past Friday showed there are still 10 million fewer jobs in this economy than there were before the pandemic.
That's a worry.
Got my coffee.
Excellent.
There's also this phenomenon where people are saving more because people are worried.
So here's why people are worried. In the past couple of months, big companies like Disney and Boeing and Marriott have announced more layoffs and furloughs. Eviction moratoriums and jobless benefits for 12 million people were left hanging in the balance by the Congress. And 4,000 people a day have been dying from this virus.
In times of stress, people want to preserve what they have. Or save for a rainy day.
And firms do the same. When there is uncertainty, firms have an incentive not to invest, not to hire, not to start new projects, because they don't know what's going to happen.
But I think there's good reason to be optimistic about the longer term.
Oh, really?
Scientists.
A vaccine has been
developed and tested and is now being distributed. That is heartening.
Particularly if the problems associated with distribution get resolved.
The CDC says that as of Tuesday, 10 million people in this economy had gotten their first shot. And not for nothing.
We have a new set of people coming in who, whether you agree with them politically or not, most people are rallying around them as finally we're getting some adults back in the room.
And from my perspective, most importantly, the president-elect and the Fed have indicated that they do not want to repeat the mistakes that were made after 2008.
We've talked about 2008, right? Congress and the Obama administration cut back on stimulus before the recovery was far enough along, and it wound up being the slowest recovery on record. There are some parallels between then and now. A new president taking over in the middle of an economic crisis, and then, of course,
we're seeing protesters overcome the police. The police are now running into the Capitol building.
We have rattling of the foundation of our society.
You know, with regard to the attack on Congress,
we have often lost sight of the fact that our biggest and most successful export is not capitalism, but is democracy.
I don't think it ever realistically had a chance of succeeding in the sense that I don't think there was any realistic outcome that would have led to Trump continuing as president for another term. That doesn't mean that it's not harmful to the economy in a long run sense.
I've said it before, and I will say it again. This economy and this democracy only work if we believe together.
I grew up in Argentina, and this is the country that I look up to in terms of the separation of powers and the strength of institutions. And I think that one insight that you get from growing in a much less stable country is that institutions are extremely hard to build and extremely easy to destroy.
If we can't trust our political institutions, if the threat of violence is ever present, if democratic legitimacy comes under threat, I think it's likely that economic policymaking will not be able to function.
Restoration of a trust in democracy and a effective response to the pandemic are key. If without those two things, the economy's ultimately, I can't say screwed, can I?
Yeah, sure you can.
Without those two things, the economy is screwed.
Thanks again to our panelists, Kathleen Day at Johns Hopkins, Eric Hilt at Wellesley, and Carola Friedman at Northwestern. We will get them back on the phone once a little bit more history has been written.